rockin' world go round.
WMFO Medford.
You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. It is Watch This with Chris Earle. My guest today is Larry Rapucci. I got five flicks for you today. I got Citizen five. Kane. I have American Beauty. I've got Shawshank Redemption. Shawshank Redemption, Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Was that all five? Did I say all five?
I don't know. It's your format.
Kane, American Beauty,
aren't you formatted?
Mind, Lord of the Rings, Shawshank Redemption.
Where's Turner and Hooch?
Turner and Hooch. Another week.
Another week.
Another week. Movies about dogs that week. But first one is from 1941. We're going to go in order. Citizen Kane is the trailer from 1941. Citizen Kane. We'll be back and we'll talk about it.
What's this music in the background?
It is NBC Mystery Movie. It's the opening to Watch This with Chris Earle. Here we go.
Okay.
Charles, you almost hurt me.
Charlie!
Instead, just lay with me. I'm sorry, Mr. Thatcher. What that kid needs is a good thrashing.
That's what you think, is it, Jim?
Yes.
That's why he's going to be brought up where you can't get at him.
But who is she?
What was that?
Here's a man that could have been president, who was as loved and hated and as talked about as any man in our time. But when he comes to die, he's got something on his mind called Rosebud. Now, what does that mean?
A racehorse he bet on once.
Yeah, that didn't come in.
All right. But what was the race?
Rosebud.
Thompson.
Yes, Mr. Rosebud.
Haul this picture up a week. 2 weeks if you have to.
Don't you think right after his death, it might be...
Find out about Rosebud. Get in touch with everybody that ever knew him. Oh, who knew him well. That manager of his, Bernstein. His second wife. She's still living.
Susan Alexander Kane.
She's running a nightclub in Atlantic City.
Yeah, that's right.
See them all. Get in touch with everybody that ever worked for him. Whoever loved him. Whoever hated his guts. I don't mean go through the city directory, of course.
I'll get on it right away, Mr. Ralston.
Good. Rosebud. Dead or alive. It'll probably turn out to be a very simple thing.
All right, the first film here today on the five flicks that I usually pick and do the trailers and a little bit of the soundtrack, and we talk about one of my favorite movies is Citizen Kane. It's from 1941, came out September 5th, 1941. It is a drama, a mystery. It's considered one of the best movies of all time, if not the best movie of all time. It was rated PG. It was an hour and 49 minutes. The plot is, following the death of a publishing tycoon, news reporters scramble to discover the meaning of his final utterance, Rosebud. The director was Orson Welles, Herman Mankiewicz, and Orson Welles did the original screenplay, and they won an Academy Award for it in 1944. It starred Orson Welles, Joseph Cotten, Dorothy Commingore, and it's top rated on IMDb as number 72, even though on many number one lists of all time, Citizen Kane. Larry, what do you know about Citizen Kane?
As a Dorothy Broad, the crazy one?
Yes.
I think she kind of schooled Orson.
She's good in it.
I love crazy women from Revere. And she got the voice. She had a scatterbrain, and she thought she was always right.
It was brought by RKO Pictures, and it was one of the first. It was the only movie that Orson Welles did with RKO Pictures, and he had full creative control. So he was able to do anything he wanted.
How do you know that?
Because I read it.
Did he ever say it?
Yes, he told me before he uttered Rosebud in passed.
Wasn't?
But no, it's widely known that he had full creative control. So he was able to do all these inventive things with the camera work, a number of, you know, a lot of shadows and light, the chiaroscuro effect of the 1920s German silent film era. Do you know anything about that?
No.
Nosferatu and Metropolis and all of those? No.
It's just bubblegum crackerjack stuff to me. But with the Magnificent Ambersons, I once heard Orson Welles said they butchered my movie. And
yes.
Released it. Okay, I'm right.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, he was a master of creative control. But the thing was, he I think later on he got a little bit lazy, kind of like Stanley Kubrick, kind of a pain in the ass to work with, and created a bad image for himself. So he started doing things like those wine ads and the frozen peas spots in order to get money, right, in order to survive. And you know, the guy had a very crazy appetite too. He used to eat at this restaurant every day and order lobsters and fish and steaks.
Yeah, five of them.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, just a great eater. I love great eaters because I'm a big fan of food.
Well, you used to be a great eater, but you can't eat as much as you used to because it wipes you out.
Not as much. Yeah, it does. It'll tire you out a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know the whole thing about Rosebud the sled?
I've heard it. What's it all about? It's about a stupid sled that says Rosebud on it.
Well, it's about his lost innocence. It's about the innocence of his youth before everybody hated him, you know, as Citizen Kane. Pretty much is what we were talking about earlier.
Like
so
us.
It's a universal theme that we have, and that's one of the reasons why it's more than just protect children. Children are innocent until they've lived life and things have messed them up.
Parents.
And they become tortured adults.
It's always the parents.
But it is one of my favorite movies. I have to rewatch this one. I watched bits of it before having it on today. But it's got some of the greatest. It's got a great soundtrack. Number one from Bernard Herrmann, who did all kinds of great soundtracks in the movies, and it just got all these crazy camera angles. It's a great story, and it was the first time like the story is all over the place. And you know, you see him dying at the beginning of the movie, and then a newspaper guy comes out and says, go and interview these people and find out what Rosebud means. So they go back and interview all the other people, and they all have different stories, almost like Rashomon, this Japanese movie that talked about these different stories and different interpretations of people.
I think you're overly cultured.
I've seen a lot of movies.
Well.
But yeah, I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, if a plane came crashing through this window right now,
yes,
we both have different takes on what we just saw.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. So it's on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. It's on DVD. You can watch it on Amazon Prime now for $3.99.
And they play it at movie houses a lot too.
Yeah, from time to time. They re-released it in 1991. I have a VHS copy of it with its giant limited edition book.
Nice.
And it tells you all about the making of it.
Nice.
And it's got all kinds of interviews with Orson Welles. One of the greatest interviewees You can have as Orson Welles.
Why, he's interviewed people?
He's interviewed people. Oh, you ever see him? He did like the Tonight Show and some other stuff. And he's just like so random and so off the cuff with stuff. But what I liked about him was he was all in. So he was a great promoter of other people too. When he was on board with you, he was on board. But when you did something to piss him off, he got rid of you. One of the reasons I picked this movie too is on Netflix now, there's a movie called The Other Side of the Wind. So they finally released Orson Welles' last film, supposedly. It was almost fully made. So Peter Bogdanovich, who's in the movie, talked about releasing the movie with Orson if anything had happened to Orson. So they finally released this movie, and it has John Hurt, I believe. No, it's not John Hurt. It's
Stacy Keach.
It's not Stacy Keach. The Other Side of the Wind. Hold on.
Pee Wee Herman.
I have a lot of knowledge, and a lot of it goes. John Huston is the director in it, who's supposed to be like Orson Welles. But it's interesting because it's like it's almost like a documentary. So it's about a director's last movie. So they're showing the last movie he's making, which is like this art house movie that's making fun of like Antonioni's blow up and all these movies in the 60s and 70s, like these art house movies. And then they have all these people talking to one another, to this director, acting like he's a big god and whatever he says is important. And it kind of parallels what was going on with Orson Welles, the fact that he couldn't get money for his movies and stuff.
Right.
So I checked out the documentary on this. I started watching this, but I didn't finish it. But it's definitely interesting. It's worth checking out. So Other Side of the Wind is out on Netflix, and also the documentary called They'll Like Me After I'm Dead, I believe was the name of it.
No, they're going to miss me. How they're going to miss me once I'm gone.
Yes, they called the documentary that as well.
Do you know Peter Bogdanovich interviewed Orson for 8 hours? It's on YouTube.
Really?
It's a bunch of different restaurant interviews.
Uh-huh.
And Orson was great. He only trusted Bogdanovich.
He was a big fan of him. And the thing is, he came on to the Tonight Show, I believe, with Burt Reynolds, and then he trashed Bogdanovich, and he had stayed at his home for like years or something. So Bogdanovich and him had a falling out. But that happens.
Yeah, but then you fix it.
Yeah, and then you fix it.
There's a falling out, and then you fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another falling out, and you decide, do I want to fix this again?
Yes.
And like you, you don't believe in second chances, nor do I.
Mm-hmm. I do second, thirds, and fourths, and then I'm not anymore, though.
Well, it sucks the life out of you at some point.
RKO Pictures indent from the 1930s in the background. I love openings to films. Yeah. 20th Century Fox and RKO. And
the Marx Brothers openings?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, the actual studio openings, because they had their own orchestras and they'd blast out, you know, their special thing before, like MGM, The Lion Roar, you know.
Say the secret word and you win big prizes.
So what else can I tell you about Citizen Kane? Go see it.
You could see it for free, or you could support the artists even though they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, order a DVD for $12 online, or a VHS copy like you got, which is sweet. Mm-hmm. You may pay more for the video, but tape is more durable than you think.
Buy yourself a cream soda. Something.
Whatever. You can get
some popcorn.
Yeah, get a six-pack. You can look at your phone, but don't use it while the movie's on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, so don't want to tell you much more about that, but it's probably, you know, all Orson Welles' films are great, but this one's my favorite, and it's worth checking out.
Let me cut you off at the knees and ask you this.
Yes.
I know somebody is probably listening right now in Drake at Massachusetts.
Okay.
And his name is Jack, and he showed me a movie a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was a pretty good movie, but it was made in 2004, I believe. And I asked him, have you ever seen an old movie? And to quote him, he said, anything made before 2000 stinks.
Well, that's because he's 18 or 19.
Well, he was 14 or 15 then.
Yeah.
And that's why I gave him the website for this conversation, because you are a movie expert.
I am.
And you know who the best boys are and all that stuff. And all the little silly thing. You watch the credits to a movie at the end?
I do. Yeah, I watch the credits.
Why? See someone you may know? You worked at a mall?
Yeah, you never know.
Burlington.
And nowadays, you got other things at the end of the credits. You know who started those end credit bloopers?
I guess.
Burt Reynolds and his stuntman.
Yeah.
The
Stroker Ace.
Stroker Ace.
Yeah.
Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
I did a thing after Burt Reynolds had passed. Hal Needham or whatever his name was. Yeah. He started that whole end credits thing that's kind of popular now with the bloopers and stuff.
And Dom DeLuise was in
Dom DeLuise, of course, yeah.
And what's the Jack Lemmon, Walter Matthau movie, Grumpy Old Men?
Oh, yeah, great. There's some great fantastic. Burgess Meredith's fantastic in that.
Great.
I'm going to do that one week on here.
Yeah.
I have a Dom DeLuise story for you. I have a friend that I had just met. And he told me that he was a limo driver. He met Dom DeLuise when he was down in New York City, and he was kind of on the outskirts of New York City, and he had just performed, and he was at a Jack in the Box eating tacos, and he said he had a rental. Said, "You're Dom DeLuise," and he's like, "Hey," he's like, "I am hello," and he's like, "I don't know where," he's like, "I don't know where my hotel is." So my friend, being the limo driver, he said, "Just follow me, I'll get you the hotel." And Dom DeLuise asked him upstairs.
And then what?
He said he didn't go.
He gave him a taco.
But he said he made a pass at him.
He gave him some Jack sauce.
Yeah, the Jack in the Box. So they're back in like the 70s. So this movie was loosely based on William Randolph for Citizen Kane, and it was accused of Orson Welles was accused of being a communist.
Please, he's an artist.
He accused Orson Welles of being a communist in order to keep the film from being released because William Randolph Hearst owned all the newspapers and stuff.
Did he give a bad review, too?
Oh, of course he did.
That's what made Orson Welles paranoid, probably.
Yeah, but it also made him a star, too. You know, Orson Welles, at this point, had done a lot of radio work, and he did The War of the Worlds before Citizen Kane.
You know, if you listen to his voice, all you should get is, this guy really knows what he's talking about. Like when we heard that outtake.
He's fantastic.
I would never direct anyone on these. Grammatically, the words on the page are bad, but you have to break it up to sound more conversational.
Right. What's great about that frozen peas spot is he's right about everything.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, the other one, he's just drunk. The wine one, he's just drunk. But in that one, he knows what he's doing. He was only 25 years old. He directed, co-starred. He directed, co-wrote, starred, and produced the movie. A feat unlikely to ever be matched on any film so highly esteemed. Original nitrate negatives are all gone, lost in a fire during the 1970s. Did you know this? On old film, it used to be on silver nitrate.
Wait a minute. Is that the same nitrate in hot dogs, or do I not know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Well, yes and no. Silver nitrate was this film, but it was highly flammable. So they would only have copies. So they'd have copies, and a lot of the old Hollywood studios would lose original copies, so there's a lot of films that are gone, like permanently. So all these films for Citizen Kane are actually gone. So they only have them on like video or copies of copies. There's no original prints left.
But they can clean it up and make, look.
They
make
clean it,
look it
up
modern.
And polish it and
what's
you know
the difference
digitize it.
What you just said and acetate.
Acetate's different. So there's silver nitrate, there's silver acetate. Acetate was a little different, not as flammable. The silver nitrate stuff, you'd light a match and it would go up. It's almost like having gasoline.
Is there like powder coming off it or something?
Yeah, it's just part of the chemicals and how it was made. The stock. But anyway, that's Citizen Kane. Let's move on to movie number two. Let's go to 1994, I think we'll do next. You're listening to WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts. The show is Watch This. I am here with Larry Rapucci till 7 p.m. My name is Chris Searle. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to your freeform station, WMFO, here in Medford. And I have to play you this. It is part of the donations drive for the year for WMFO here in Medford.
Fun, baby.
If you're a liberal defeatocrat and your idea of a good time is to sit back and shoot crack cocaine into your eyeball while listening to jam band music followed by death metal, followed by hip-hop, followed by polka, followed by some ungodly classical music written by some European, y'all probably listen to WMFO in Medford because of the crack cocaine. Y'all probably enjoy it. So I suggest you mail a check to the trustees of Tufts College, WMFO, Attention, Satan, Post Office Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155.
Base. gentlemen, you've heard all the evidence. I submit that this was not a hot-blooded crime of passion. Consider this. A revolver holds 6 bullets, not 8. That means that he fired the gun empty and then stopped to reload.
By the power vested in me by the state of Maine, I hereby order you to serve 2 life sentences back to back. 1 for each of your victims. So be it.
Send you here for life? That's exactly what they take.
I believe in 2 things. Discipline.
Help me, Dad!
And the Bible. Here you'll receive both.
Andy came to Shawshank Prison in 1947. Why'd you do it?
I didn't, since you ask.
You gonna fit right in. I must admit, I didn't think much of Andy first time I laid eyes on him. He had a quiet way about him. A walk and a talk that just wasn't normal around here.
There are places in the world that aren't made out of stone. There's something inside that they can't touch.
What are you talking about?
Hope.
Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing.
Damn it, Dufresne, you're putting me behind!
Hope can drive a man insane.
You better be sick or dead in there, I kid you not!
Better get used to that idea.
Oh, my holy God.
I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living. You get busy dying.
Get busy living. Or get busy dying. That's damn right.
Dear Donna, you are my number one fan. I would like to take you out on a date, because I think you are a nice-looking model and a nice-looking young woman. My one dream is to take Page 3 girl out on a date. I've been buying the Daily Sport for a long time now. Please don't think I'm a pervert, because I'm not. I will also take you to see The Shawshank Redemption if it was on down my cinema, but it isn't. This letter is just for you. So what I'm going to do is rent it on video just for you. Darling Donna, you are my number one fan and always will be forever and ever.
All right, flick number two is Shawshank Redemption from 1994. It's rated number one on IMDb for best motion picture of all time, beating out Citizen Kane by 71 spots. It's a drama from 1994, 2 hours and 22 minutes, rated R. It's got a 9.3 out of 10 on IMDb. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. Of course, you can get it on DVD or Blu-ray, of course, and high-definition player, if you still have that, an HD DVD. The story was by Stephen King. Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption was the name of the story. Frank Darabont, who is also part of The Walking Dead, did the screenplay, and he was the director. Stars Tim Robbins, Morgan Freeman, Bob Gunton plays Warden Norton, and William Sadler as Haywood. Clancy Brown is great in it as Captain Hadley. Just a great, great movie. Also, James Whitmore's in it as Brooks, who is an old actor from long ago, and he has a really good little subplot in the movie. One of my favorite movies of all time talks about redemption. This guy's innocent, and he goes in, and he's stuck in prison for a lifetime. So two imprisoned men bond over a number of years, finding solace and eventual redemption through acts of common decency. I rewatched this last night. Morgan Freeman's better than ever. So what is that? All right. So Morgan Freeman is great in it. Tim Robbins is great in it. Just a fantastic story. Doesn't have as many camera angles and crazy directing as Citizen Kane, but just a great film overall. Shawshank Redemption from 1994. Flick number two here on Watch This with Chris Earle here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. 855-915-WMFO is the request line if you want to call in and talk about a movie or make any kind of commentary on the films that we're talking about today. Shawshank Redemption.
Dear Red, if you're reading this, you've gotten out. And if you've come this far, maybe you're willing to come a little further. You remember the name of the town, don't you?
Say Watanao.
I could use a good man to help me get my project on wheels. I'll keep an eye out for you and the chessboard ready. Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. I will be hoping that this letter finds you and finds you well. Your friend, Andy.
Shawshank Redemption, 1994. Never seen this one, huh, Larry?
No, and I don't think music's that important in movies. Back to you.
I think music's very important. It adds emotional resonance to a scene.
How come they don't play the whole score? A 2 minute and 35 second 45 single, they play a minute and a half of it.
Well, it goes in with the scene and the editing.
A scene I've never seen.
You remember Goodfellas when Scorsese plays the ending of Layla?
Yeah.
And you remember what happens?
Yeah.
You remember what happens in Goodfellas when Layla's playing, you remember?
Yeah, it didn't make me want to put my jammies on and jump up and down.
Yeah, but you have all these bodies rolling, so all these people are getting whacked during that. So it's a powerful scene, so it gives new meaning to that Layla song. So when you hear Layla, you see the images of Scorsese's body count in Goodfellas.
Do you know who Layla was?
No, who was it?
George Harrison's ex-wife.
Yes, we talked about that before.
What's his name there? Slohan scooped her away.
Right.
And what did Layla have to do with Goodfellas? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really tie in. Well,
because it was the 70s, and then that's why they were doing all the whack. They were whacking them all in the 70s. So
why can't
ended up using
Eric Clapton?
Yeah.
Do you remember? You know what? Eric Clapton's nickname was Slowhand. Maybe if his hands were quicker, his kid would be alive today.
Yeah, maybe.
Good one.
I don't think he was around.
No, he was. He was out of town, like a good parent.
Yeah. When you're rich.
The housekeeper.
That's what I mean. You know, it's awful, but how close was he to this kid? He probably hardly ever saw him. The kid was like, what, a year, year and a half old?
I don't know. I should know that, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's always the parents. That's all I'm going to say.
Did you ever see Crimes and Misdemeanors, Woody Allen?
I think I've seen clips of it.
Martin Landau's in it.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah, and Woody Allen. And Woody Allen's talking to a philosopher, and he's doing a documentary on this philosopher. And then the guy decides to kill himself, and he goes, one of the greatest philosophers of all time, and he left a note that says, I am out the window.
Do they show him jumping out the window, too?
I don't think they do. I don't think they do. But that's another great one. Crimes and Misdemeanors, another great Woody Allen movie.
Yeah. If a movie's a comedy, every scene should be funny, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Every sentence maybe should be funny. Watch Cheers.
Uh-huh.
Every sentence is hilarious.
Cheers was a great, great sitcom. And I talk, on Watch This, sometimes I'll talk about TV shows. That's a good one to watch.
Good.
Cheers is on Netflix. You can see all the seasons. It's a great show.
Teddy Bergeron was on the episode. Have you seen it yet?
Oh, I'm sure I did, yeah.
He's on for 9 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
I like when the old guy faints.
Which old guy?
The guy that used to come up with the big trench coat and the cap.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
He collapses. And let's see if I remember the scene. Old guy collapses. Someone says, does anybody know CPR? And Ted Danson goes to administer it. And the old guy jumps up. He goes, that always works.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want someone's mouth on his mouth.
I got you.
That's why I can't stand movies. You have to paint the picture in radio. Makes it better.
What's your favorite prison movie?
I think it was with it was a TV show on Channel 56, I believe, growing up called Cell Block H.
I don't know that.
It was all floppy-chested harlots.
Uh-huh.
And they put cola on their arms instead of tattoos.
They did?
I think it was Cell Block H. You could probably look it up. Channel 56, WLVI. And
okay.
I believe it was on Saturday night. What's her name that sang, Do You Want to Bump and Grind with Me?
I don't know.
She killed herself in Connecticut like an idiot.
I don't know.
O. Williams.
Oh, okay.
It was that kind of movie where, you know, a bunch of derelict women.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much men stink. We don't need men. We just need a bunch of us broads to stick together.
Yeah, that sounds like 2018, though.
I know.
It's been going on forever.
Forever.
Longer
than our ex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to go on forever.
I wish I saw you in UMass that time when Jerry Seinfeld was there. Oh, I just love when you
Put them up.
Just downgrade people.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was there? Caroline Ray?
Caroline Ray. Yep.
She's so fine.
Yep.
She's Caroline Gilchrist.
She's funny.
Ray from Montreal.
Yeah.
We hit it off.
She was very nice.
Yep.
So, Shawshank Redemption, let me give you a little taste of trivia. Morgan Freeman's favorite film of his own. Stephen King never cashed his $1,000 check for the rights to the film. Several years after the movie came out, Stephen King got the check framed, mailed it back to Frank Darabont with a note that inscribed, "In case you ever need bail money, love Stephen King."
Oh, who's Frank Arabom?
Frank Darabont was the director and the writer of The Shawshank Redemption, who also ended up developing The Walking Dead on AMC.
I happen to know. You know where that check is today?
Where's that?
Bob Marley's summer cottage, hanging up on a wall.
Really?
I don't know. Oliver Keithley wouldn't allow it. That's showbiz stuff.
Mm-hmm. Andy and Red's opening scene in the movie in the prison yard. Red's throwing a baseball. It took them 9 hours to shoot it. Morgan Freeman threw the baseball for the entire 9 hours without one word of complaint. Oh, he showed up for work the next day with his left arm in a sling.
He's so talented.
He is talented. Morgan Freeman's great. He got into some trouble too, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what he...
Isn't he an old fruit too?
Pushed a few broads around.
Yeah, he's a little
I have a problem with that. But then it's not my life. Mm-hmm. So if I want to hold it against him, I will.
See, I can't say anything like that anymore either, like old fruit.
Why?
I can't. Because somebody
can
complain.
It's not in your
nature? No, somebody can call up and complain.
If we were perfect, people would complain.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm talking to you, and I'm doing it just to be funny. But, of course, you know, there could be somebody on campus that could be like, I don't like that word fruit. It's damaging.
So,
what do you think about question three? What do you think about that?
This is
the transgender thing.
I'll answer that in a second. This is what I would tell any college student today.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to... The moratorium's going to be lifted. You're not going to have to pay for your education. So I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
And a degree doesn't guarantee an income. Maybe an engineer.
It certainly...
But what's the question three? I don't know enough about it.
Question three is the one with the transgender rights going into the bathroom. So it passed, so they were going to take it away, and then it passed, so it's staying. So basically, there's a chance that you have to have a transgender. You can walk into any room that you identify with. So you or I can dress up as a woman, wander right into the ladies' room.
A unisex bathroom.
That's what I think they should just have, unisex bathrooms.
Well, they
everywhere.
Have them.
They do. But they made a big deal about having a transgender bathroom, where I think it's like 1 in 10,000 people. So you don't need to have that in every public facility, I don't think. They don't have public facilities with transgender. Just have a unisex bathroom. Somebody's in there, you got to take a one or a number two or a number three.
Well, I was born on a baby-changing station in a hospice.
Were you?
No. So who am I to speak? Well, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
Empty yourself out before you leave your house and time it so you can get back if you want to use your own facilities. Know your body, your bladder. Sometimes you drink two coffees and you don't tinkle for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because your body's telling you, I'm going to do what I want to do.
It's a diuretic.
Coffee. Yeah, but not...
Yeah. But eventually you got to pee it out.
Some days your body doesn't work right and you're going, I should have been going twice.
Right.
And you're not because you're getting older, closer to death.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, you know, if you're going to go to Starbucks and there's a unisex bathroom there, you can always buy Starbucks whole beans and grind it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right across the hall to your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to make a scene in public. I don't like the fact that when a guy has a member, he can do more damage with that than a woman that doesn't have anything going on down there.
Okay.
That's all.
So Frank Darabont watched Goodfellas, speaking of Goodfellas, every Sunday while shooting this film. And he drew inspiration on including the voice over narration and showing the passage of time. This is cool because it shows passing of time from like the 40s until the 60s. And this, you don't like that?
No, this is just a bunch of talented people carving up this country a little more. What do I care?
Mm. Clint Eastwood, Harrison Ford, Paul Newman, Robert Redford considered for the part of Red. In the original novel, Red's a middle-aged white Irishman, but it's Morgan Freeman that plays it. And at one point, his reply, maybe it's because I'm Irish, was kind of an in-joke because that was an Irish guy in the original story by Stephen King.
Could have used Whitey Bulger.
Tell me a Stephen King movie you liked other than this one. Misery, did you see that one?
I try to watch it, but...
Oh, she's great in that.
No, I love her, and I love James Caan.
Oh, fantastic.
The thing is, I have to be in the right frame of mind to watch a movie. My mind wanders too much. Like when I read a book, mm-hmm. I read a page and I go, I got to reread this because mm-hmm. I'm thinking about working in New Hampshire this weekend mm-hmm. in front of 9 people. And I have to wait 6 months for the check.
Uh-huh. So no favorite Stephen King
I
movie.
Would say Carrie I saw when I was in high school. I was pretty impressed with that.
With the Travolta and Sissy Spacek?
Everybody.
And that's a crazy movie.
Sissy Spacek's very talented.
Yeah, very talented. She's on Castle Rock now, which is Stephen King on Hulu. I had a bit part there. I didn't show up for it. So
what?
Yeah, they were filming that.
Why? Because they didn't pay you? What happened?
Yeah, they were filming. I ended up doing something else. I went to Chicago.
Made some money.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you got to do.
But, I could have been in that. I guess it's a big hit on Hulu right now. They're, like, redoing all these Stephen King stories.
How is anything a big hit today? Everything's been done.
Everything has been done. But you know what? It is. I consider this a new golden age for television, at least.
Yes.
Because you have, like, Breaking Bad. What a fantastic show. Great. Game of Thrones, fantastic.
This director, you told me not to cut you off, Frank Darabont. I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
He watched Goodfellas so he can scoop some ideas as to how to shoot this film.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting, too, as I was watching this last night, is the very beginning. I had to rewind it a couple times because Tim Robbins is drinking whiskey, and the whiskey name, I thought it said Rosebud on it.
What did it say?
It says Rosewood. But I'm like, since Citizen Kane was on my mind, I'm like, there's an interesting link there.
That's interesting because you need to know.
Mm.
That's cool, but the Frank Sinatra was supposed to get Goodfellas, but Ray Liotta, all that. I don't care.
Yeah, the what ifs.
It's a true story, and I know.
You like what's in the movie, what the final product.
I just want the truth.
Yeah.
You know, like Henry Hill.
Yeah.
Just show me.
What do you think about Whitey going? Deserved it. Should have happened sooner.
Yeah, I think so, but 89 years old, getting killed in a wheelchair.
Right.
That's what you get when you mess with the wrong people. And there's a guy out in Springfield. You know that guy?
Yeah.
The Greek guy?
Yes.
I forget his last name, but...
Yeah,
I read up on him, too. You know, you hurt me 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to nail you. It may take 26 years, but I'm going to nail you.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I'm going to nail you.
Yeah.
And I may
it's
just...
revenge.
I may not slice your throat, but I may do all the bad jokes that never went over in 1986, and you say, please kill me.
You know when war ends? It's not when you decide, it's when your enemy decides.
That's right.
That's when war ends.
Who's that a quote from?
That's Patton.
I figured that. Yeah. I knew you didn't come up with it. It's too good.
I come up with some good quotes.
No, that's... Yeah. I know you do.
Yeah.
But
well, that one's not mine.
You're no Patton.
I'm no Patton. Well, you know what happened to him at the end?
Did he die of syphilis or something? I don't remember.
No, he's in a Jeep, and the Jeep went off the road. He died of his wounds, but they think that it was caused. They think
driver.
That he was murdered. Yeah.
Where was this?
Oh, somewhere overseas.
Okay.
I don't know, Africa.
George C. Scott knows.
George C. Scott knows. I talked about Patton a few weeks ago. Let me look it up.
Did you ever see the movie Hardcore with George C. Scott?
Patton. No, Hardcore? Did you see The Changeling?
No, but his daughter got reeled into the porn world. And he rescued her.
In the movie?
Yeah.
What is it called? Hardcore?
I believe it's some kind of...
It's one of his later ones where he's just making money.
I'm saying 1978-ish.
Yeah.
And there was a character in the movie named Rattan, and George C. Scott said, I'm going to get this Rattan guy. It was great.
So December 8th, 1945, he was invited on a pheasant hunting trip, and Patton observed some cars on the road and said how awful war is, think of the waste, and then his car collided with an army truck at low speed. Everybody else in the car was injured, was slightly injured, but Patton hit his head on the glass and began bleeding from a gash to the head. And he was complaining that he was paralyzed, had trouble breathing. He was brought to a hospital in Heidelberg. So where's that?
Germany.
So he's in Germany.
I think it's West Germany.
Another mystery solved.
The Germans, that they screw everything up.
So, they think maybe... that was on purpose.
Well, it's amazing that this movie can make you go from...
Anyway, he died.
Yeah, well, it's on George Carlin. It's on everyone's schedule, death.
Yeah. Shawshank Redemption, fantastic movie. You got to say it.
Okay, I will.
You would enjoy it.
Usually I know I say no, I don't. But you know what? maybe one day we can make plans on a Friday. I can come to your house, and I can watch it, and then you can forget to call me, and I'll miss it again.
Yeah. Well, I watched it last night on my own.
Well,
it was great. I had a great time. Do you ever do things on your own and think, wow, what a great time I'm having?
I prefer to do things on my own because there's still more stuff for me to figure out. Because there's really nobody's company I crave. I don't mean to be rude.
Yeah, yeah.
I like walking in a place alone so that some people go, that's strange.
Okay.
He walked in here alone.
Sure.
Whatever. I don't want to meet anybody new. How about you?
You know what? I actually enjoyed meeting new people over the last few months. This year has actually been very, knock on wood, this has been a great year for me.
It's ended good.
It's not over yet, but it's been a great, great year for me.
But was it a big false start?
There were a few road bumps along the way.
Yeah.
Mostly involving other people because they suck, usual. It had nothing to do with me.
Even nice people can get on your nerves, let's face it.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't want to speak for everybody, but...
You've seen American Beauty.
I did, but I can't remember. Oh. It's 20 years old, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that the Kevin Spacey movie before he went fence jumping?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I do remember bits
and pieces. We're gonna talk about that.
There's a beautiful blonde girl in that.
Yeah.
What's her name? Who's that actress?
The Thora Birch is in it, and Mina Suvari.
No, the blonde girl, is that her?
Mina Suvari,
Oh.
So, Shawshank Redemption, considered by Stephen King to be his favorite film adaptation, most rented video, 1995. Didn't really make back its money when it first came out, but then became a huge cult hit. Go out and check it out. Andy Dufresne, role of Andy Dufresne, originally offered to Tom Hanks, but Tim Robbins got it.
And, I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's interesting to me. Did you see The Green Mile with Tom Hanks?
That I did see more than once, and I did love
it. Yeah.
But I like when that little shrimp got his own at the end. Mm-hmm. They didn't kill him. They put him in the nut house.
Yeah.
Tewksbury State Hospital, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Tewksbury State Hospital. You could get your birth certificate at Framingham State College and probably doll it up and just not even pay for it.
Yeah.
Like you used to get a fake ID, no?
Did you? I had a fake ID. I used it once. Only once. Yeah.
Really? Didn't Orson Welles have a movie called ID or something?
F is for Fake.
I've seen that too. Okay.
Yeah. Still Orson Welles.
Well, I like him.
Yeah.
I don't care about the rest of the cast.
I like him too. Generally, I think he was kind of full of crap when he got older, but I liked him.
Well, they got to him.
Yeah.
That's why you become full of crap, because people get to you.
Mm.
Or you let them get to you.
It's true. All right, let's play some. Next one is from 1999. It is from DreamWorks Pictures. It is American Beauty, starring Kevin Spacey, here on Watch This. You are listening to WMFO here in Medford, Mass. Here with you until 7 p.m. I'm here with Larry Rapucci. My name is Chris Searle. Thanks for listening to your freeform station.
Later on, Fritz the Cat. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Yes. I'm enjoying all this.
Morning, Carolyn.
I love your tie, that collar.
Nice going, Dad.
Ricky? Coming, Dad.
Having everyone write out a job description, that way management can assess who's valuable
and who's expendable.
My parents are trying to take an active interest in me. Why can't they just have their own lives?
I'm so proud of you. You didn't screw up once.
Oh my God, it's a psycho next door.
Jane, what if he worships you?
I didn't mean to scare you. I'm not obsessing. I'm just curious.
Why does he dress like a Bible salesman?
Today I quit my job, and then I blackmailed my boss for almost $60,000 past these pairs.
Your dad's actually kind of cute.
I think he and your mother have not slept together in a long time.
Shut up! You think you're the only one who's frustrated.
I'm not? Well then, come on, baby, I'm ready.
Welcome to America's weirdest home videos.
This is for your own good, boy. There are rules in life.
Yes, sir. Don't give up on me, Dad.
Smile. You're at Mr. Smiley's.
You are so busted.
I love shooting this gun.
Sometimes there's so much beauty in the world. I feel like I can't take it.
I rule.
If I had to leave tonight, would you come with me?
Yes.
Look at me, jerking off in the shower. This will be the high point of my day. It's all downhill from here.